Thank you, Ron. Thank you, choir and orchestra. Thank you for all the wonderful music. Amen. It's been wonderful. Christmas music is the best, isn't it? It's the best, and it just uplifts you, just brings a smile to your face every time you sing it, right? And by the way, if you don't get a smile by singing Christmas music, you are indeed a Grinch, quote for sure. There's no doubt. Hey, we're in this third part of our greatest gifts ever sermon series on Christmas, as I've been challenged myself to really dig in and find some really unpacking some new ideas about Christmas. The story is the same; it has been for centuries. And how do you continue to tell the story in a fresh and new way? And the Lord just put it on my heart several months ago to start working through unpacking some Christmas boxes. The greatest gift ever. Awesome joy. Awesome joy. Now, our launch verse, we're going to look at the Christmas story this morning, but our launch verse really sets the tone for the entire message today. Our launch verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, always be joyful. Always be joyful. Jesus came to give awesome joy. Would you join me to pray? Father God, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for what you're about to do in our midst. Thank you for the privilege of standing in this wonderful place today, unpacking your beautiful word today. Father, I pray that we walk away from this place differently than when we came. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for what you're going to do in advance. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful music and this beautiful facility that we are able to worship in this warm environment today. And Father, I pray that we will walk away from this place completely different than when we came. We give you all the praise, all the glory for what you're about to do in our midst today. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' holy name we pray, and the church said, amen. So what is awesome joy? What is often, when we're talking about joy, what are we talking about when we talk about joy? Whenever we talk about joy, we're always saying a lot of things, and many of it is that we're talking about joy that really isn't joy. It's not emotion, by the way. Joy has nothing to do. While we are emotional when we're joyful, but it is not emotion. It's not an up and down mentality or an up and down emotional feeling. When we think about joy, what joy hasn't given, let me give you a couple of pictures here on the screen that is not joy that maybe we can all relate to. Here's our first one I want you to notice on the screen. That's not joy right there. That is our chairman of deacons right there. No, that's not him. That's not joy. Now, joy is not the Grinch. Now, by the way, there's many a child and my two granddaughters, to be quite honest with you, they don't like this guy. Every time they're around him, they don't like him. Now, not around him, but the ones who dress up like the Grinch. So the Grinch is, this guy is not joyful. So if you are a Grinch, let me just go ahead and say it out loud. You're not joyful. You're just really not joyful. Now you say, well, there are some really nice Grinches. I've not met many, to be quite honest with you. They always kind of get into the character, right? My concern is when we think about joy, we tend to go to the extreme of that, like a fake phony type joy. Maybe you'll see this guy right here. Maybe this is the guy you think. Now some of you say, who is that? That is guy's name is SpongeBob SquarePants, if you don't know who he is. You say, how in the world do you know these things? Well, I've got two granddaughters, right? They don't know who SpongeBob SquarePants. They don't care anything about SpongeBob SquarePants. They like Bluey and Elsa. That's who they like. And I enjoy watching Bluey and Elsa. Why? Because it's educating. No, it's because Millie and Margot like Bluey and Elsa. That's the reason why I watch. But you see, sometimes we go to the opposite extreme when we go to a SpongeBob SquarePants thinking that we're going to get this wonderful joy, and he's fake. I have a feeling, though, however, if I took a survey right now in the room, if we did a vote, we Baptists love to vote about things, right? And so if I took a vote right now, who would you like, either Grinch or SpongeBob SquarePants? I believe Grinch would win out over him because Grinch is cooler looking than SpongeBob SquarePants. So what is joy? What is joy? What is genuine joy? We know it's not emotion. We know that it's not the up and downs of life. So what does it mean to have joy? Let me give you a message truth. I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to pay close attention. It should be in your handout. It means you have the strength from God to face anything. It means you know you're blessed in everything, no matter what the circumstances God blesses, blessings are still there. It means you are less stressed about everything because you know God's love. You can get through the journey of life because you know God's love. So that's what we're talking about here today. Dear friends, let me tell you something. You can take your job, they can take your job away from you, but they can't take God's purpose for your life away from you. So you can have joy no matter what the circumstances may arise. They can take your relationship from you, but they cannot take God's love from your life. So you can have joy no matter what. They can even take your health away from you, but they cannot take God's grace away from you. They can even take your life. They can literally take your life, but they can't take God's promise of eternal life for those of us that are followers of Jesus Christ, that are saved by His grace. So no matter what, always, always be joyful. That's worth memorizing, isn't it? Three words. Everybody can memorize three words. Always be joyful in the midst of circumstances. In whatever circumstances we face, we can be joyful. The truth is, if you're waiting for perfect circumstances, to be quite honest with you, you're going to wait a long time. You're never going to find a perfect solution or perfect circumstance. You're going to wait a long time if you're waiting for the circumstances to get better for you to have a joyful lifestyle. The message of Christmas is that God came to bring joy into the world. So this past week, Deb had to make some trips to Birmingham. And so while she was away, I did a little joy tour this week. So on Tuesday, I went to a local hospital area and sat in the waiting room. You say, well, why in the world did you do that? Because I wanted to kind of get a feel by looking at some people in the waiting room, what was going on in their life. And some of them were sitting around waiting. You could see the look on their face. Some of them, the diagnosis may not be good, what they're about to have. And so I watched them as they were waiting to find joy. Were they going to have joy? Some of the good decisions or the diagnosis that were coming may not be good for them. Some of them had to wait on the diagnosis after the tests were run. And a lot of them were going to be told that the diagnosis were going to be further down the road. And so you could see the joy being drained for them. Later in the week, I also went to the mall. Now, I would rather you pull my fingernails off of my hand rather than to go to the mall. I just don't like going to them. But I did this for you today to give you this illustration. I went to the mall and I just kind of sat. I didn't buy anything. I didn't shop for anything. I didn't do any of that. I just watched people as they moved around the mall. And I was finding in the midst of all this busyness, and they were flooding all over the place, where in the midst of this, in the hustle and bustle and the tinsel and all the decorations, where was the joy? I didn't see much of it. You can't find genuine joy in a hospital waiting room. You can't find genuine joy in a mall, whether some of you shopaholics think you can. You really cannot find genuine joy. My son and I had breakfast this week, and he said that they're considering going to Disney World this coming spring. And I just shook all over. Going to Disney World with two toddlers, how much joy can that be? Oh, they would be fun for about 30 minutes, and then it's going to be hot, and then it's going to be expensive, and then it's going to be hot, and then it's going to be expensive, and then it's going to be tiring. And at the end of that cycle at Disney World, I'm thinking in my mind, there's not going to be a lot of joyfulness coming out of those kids, right? So we're going to look today at the first Christmas. We're going to look at the first Christmas. We're going to look at the shepherds and what they talk about joy. And we're going to look at the wise men. They talk about about joy. We're going to look at Mary and Joseph, and they talk about joy. And it's not just for them. I came to the realization that joy on the first Christmas was not just for them. I want to give you a verse of scripture as a second part of a launch into our study today. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Listen to what it says. Everything written in scripture was written to teach us in order that we might have hope through the patience and the encouragement which the scriptures give us. Everything that is written is for us. It's not just a historical fact. It is for us. Whenever you read the stories in the Bible, it's not just written for them. It's not just an account of what took place. While that is historically factual, it is for us. It is written to give us joy. So what happened to them? What happened to them, happens for us as well. Each of them have something to teach about. I think about the Christmas story. Last week, I was thinking about the news that happens and how rapid the news happens. And it's Instagram, it's Snap, it's TikTok, it's whatever it might be. We used to think how quick the internet was. And while the internet's the driving force behind a lot of this, I can tell you that this instant news just comes out. It's kind of scary. So I took a moment and I called a college pastor friend of mine down in Auburn. And I said, hey, man, let me ask you a couple of questions. I know you're about to have your Christmas thing with your college students. I got to working on a sermon series right now. And I want to know, what do you think if you ask your college students to deliver the headlines of today about the birth of Jesus, what do you think they would say? He said, well, let me get back with you in just a few minutes. He had already reached out to them, text, and got me some information back. Here's one of the social media headlines of the birth of Jesus if it happened today. Baby's here to save the world. I'm a virgin. And 8 other quotes from a lady who just gave birth in a barn. I'm going to let that marinate on you just for a second. You got to understand that Instagram, sometimes you want to click on it and you swipe it and say, oh, you got to see the rest of the story by swiping through the Instagram, right? Here's another one. Surprise, royal baby. Three ridiculous gifts to give at your next baby shower. You see, you got all these crazy things that are happening today because it's not just the information that we receive, it's how it's delivered. Now, another one says, what the shepherds did will shock you. Will shock you. Now, this one came to me, and I wasn't real sure I was going to share it with you, so bear with me. It came from a college student. Who's your daddy? Woman claims God is my daddy. Fiance said, he's not mine. Now, I know that's going to make some of you purists mad in this room. That you just get over it. It's just a funny little thing for us to think about. You see, we click and scroll through each of the questions today. How do you click to find joy? How do you scroll over to find joy? I want to give you this morning 5 shocking truths that I believe that we find in the Christmas story that maybe you just haven't thought about. Or maybe I'm giving you a reminder to think about. And the first one is this. Joy is here. Joy is here. Have you been to one of those places? Maybe it's a Hartsfield International Airport and you were looking for a place to eat while you're waiting on your plane. And you go to that spot in the airport and it has the big map and it says the dot is right there. Or you're at the mall. I saw one at the mall. Well, here's where you are and you want to go over here to Chick-fil-A or somewhere like that. So here's where you are. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Joy is not going over there. Joy is right here. If joy is going to happen in my life, if joy is going to happen in your life, it's right here on the dot. It's got to be where you are. It's not somewhere else you're going to be. It's here. Notice in Luke chapter 2, the story, as we unpack this beautiful story together in verse 8 and 9. That night were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. So here's these shepherds. We know this story too well, right? They're hanging out in the fields, Ron. They're just sitting there. Now, let me just tell you something. Sheep are not really, really exciting animals. They're just not. I mean, they're not like lions and tigers and even elephants, and they're not bulldogs. They're not excited. You know, sheep are just kind of lumps of fur. And in the daytime, they're really not exciting, but at night, they're quite boring. I mean, they're just laying there in the field, and so these shepherds are sitting there watching there, and all of a sudden, in the middle of all this boring time, the routine business as usual, God shows up. Joy shows up in the midst of that kind of life. There's where God shows up. Joy is here. There is great hope when I look at the shepherds, when I look at the hope of the shepherds had and suddenly appeared. Folks, let me tell you something. In the midst of the boredom of their life, God showed up. Suddenly appeared, the angels came. You routinely go through life, through business as usual, every day. God wants you to come and give you joy. You don't have to go on vacation to get joy. By the way, if you go on vacation to find joy, there's one big problem with that. You're not going to find it. You know why? You may have some fun, but you're going to not find joy because you're going on vacation. You see, you're the problem. I'm the problem. We find joy somewhere else. No, we ourselves need to find joy. One of my favorite words in this Christmas story is the first really shocking word, and it's called suddenly. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them. God shows up. All too well, we know that word suddenly, don't we? All too well, we get that diagnosis that we didn't want to get. All too well, things are changed. That phone call from the doctor says, you've got this or you've got that. Suddenly, you're driving down the road and immediately you're involved in an automobile accident. Suddenly, that whole life changed in that moment. But I want to tell you the truth is that just suddenly, everything can change for joy as well. It can change for joy. Everything can change for the better. Right here, right now, we can make that decision happen. I can begin to see, no matter what the circumstances are in my life, God showing up in my life. Suddenly, God showed up. Suddenly, joy is here because joy is not about the circumstances. It's about Him suddenly showing up in my life. So joy is here. The second shocking truth that I want us to scroll over and look at today is not only joy is here, but joy is sent. Joy is sent. It's not something you spend the rest of your life looking for. Notice what it says in verses 10 and 12 through 12 in just the same chapter, Luke 2. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Do not be afraid, he says. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. So joy is here. How do I find it? If joy's right here, how do I notice it? There are a lot of different stages. Some people try to work harder. If I can just work harder, I'm going to see and be successful in finding joy. If I do something to myself, if I buy something new in my life, a new vehicle or a new home, I swap this. Most of this is true. Most of us, if we found like working harder is going to help us along the way to find joy, we realize that that's really not the case, because we never find joy in workaholics. Have you ever been around that person that works all the time? They're workaholics. They're never joyful people. They say, oh, I'm working hard because I'm so joyful. I love what I do. Well, I wanted you to know something, folks. I work hard, but I know how to play hard as well. Folks, let me tell you something. Some people think that we'd be joyful if we just ignore all the bad that's going on in the world. Gather in here close. Don't miss this. Joy is recognizing in the realities of life that God is here. God is here in the realities of life. There are other people who think that joy is some lucky circumstances in our life as well. If I win the lottery, I'm going to be joyful. I've never met anybody, but I had an attorney friend of mine who represented a fella who won the lottery, and he said he went through it so quickly he became more depressed than ever before. Now, that's probably a spending problem. But he said he won the lottery, and he said, and then he came about a few years later, he was dead broke again. There's never joy in that. When a chance to winning $1 million, God wants to bring joy into every one of our lives. He sends it into every one of our lives. It's not found. It is sent. Gather in here close. Don't miss this again. Joy is not created from within. Joy is sent from above. Joy is sent from above. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. I've always thought about the difference between good news and great joy. Good news becomes great joy when it becomes personal. When it becomes personal. Some of you might say something like this. I won $1 million last week, Pastor Dan. I would say, that's good news, right? That's good news. I mean, if I got the letter in the mail, Ron, and it said, Dan, you and Debbie have won $1 million. Now, that's great joy right there. Can I get amen to that? That's great joy. Why? Because the difference is it became personal. It was, you won $1 million. That's great, John. I'm so thrilled for you, buddy. Good news. Good news, man. But if I win it, that's great joy. I'm elated about that. Christmas, dear friends, gathering here close, is very personal. Jesus came for you. Jesus came for me. He came to let us know that he loves us deeply. He has a plan for us. I have a promise for your life. I have a future for your life. And I have a no matter what love for your life. Christmas, dear friends, is personal. And then all of a sudden, good news becomes great joy when we lock into that. Notice what these shepherds did. As we take it down in verse 17 and 18, notice what it says. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened. What the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Notice what it said. Joy was sent or is sent. Joy is shared. And then they went and told everybody. Notice the response of the people. They didn't ridicule them. They didn't get bored with them. They weren't bored. They were astonished. They were astonished because the world needs to hear good news, people. And we have the good news to share with people. So I just want to challenge us right here in the midst of Christmas time, right here in the midst of this story, right here in the midst of this celebration of the Christ birth, for those of us who have experienced Christ personally into our lives, we have the good news, so go share that with someone this week. Joy is here. Joy is sent into our life, and that brings me to the third shocking truth is this. Joy is a journey. Joy is a journey, or some would say joy is a process. Joy doesn't always happen in an instant. Salvation happens instantly. But the disciple making of our lives takes all of eternity. Disciple making, discipleship growing in the faith and knowledge, grace and knowledge of Christ takes for all of eternity. Joy doesn't happen in an instant that we want. These wise men, when we look at this story of those guys, we notice that they were afar off. They started way off into the east, and some remember the story. And so you saw this, they saw this star, and then they showed up. It took them a while to get there. Notice what Matthew 2, verse 10 says. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. So they traveled a long way off. They traveled a long way off to be filled with this joy. It was a process for them. I was really struggling with this particular section of the message several weeks ago, and the Lord took me to a couple of verses of Scripture that really would not be tied to a Christmas story, but it really helps me drive home the point that joy is a process. Joy is a journey. You see, some of us go through some difficult times in our lives. Psalms 30, verse 5 says, crying may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Sometimes it starts with tears before the pain, and the pain happens, and it has with tears, and then the joy comes. John 16, verse 20 says, you will grieve, but your grief will turn into joy. Oh, dear friends, don't miss this. Recognizing that God is here with me in my tears, in my grief, I am thankful for the presence he has in my life. Out of that trouble and trials and tribulations and situations and cheerful moments, out of that brings a new kind of joy that is above all the circumstances that we might be facing. Joy is a journey. Joy is a process, because what you're looking for, sometimes we look for it in all the wrong places. We want a quick fix. We want an adrenaline rush. We want to do it with alcohol or drugs, or we want to do it with whatever that might fit that moment in your life. Dear friends, what you're looking for is an adrenaline rush. It will go away. So last week, again, I was struggling in my own personal journey. I'm just being honest with you. I some really difficult moments going on, and I was struggling. I was in my study a lot, and I was struggling with things, just thinking, God, how are you going to work through this circumstance? How are you going to work through this? Decisions needing to be made. How are you going to work this out? And the Lord took me, as he always does, to Scripture. He pointed me to the roadmap, and he took me to Psalms 148, verse 13. Listen to these words. Let them all praise the name of the Lord, for his name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and heaven. For many times I see this picture. I see this picture in my mind of who God is, and it helps me get to the next place in my journey. And that verse of Scripture solidified it with two words: towers over. Helps me see who God is in the midst of life. So gather in here close. Don't miss this. No matter what the circumstances you're facing, no matter what the circumstances I'm facing, God towers over that circumstance. No matter what the struggle we are facing, God towers over the circumstances. The journey of that is the journey of joy. When I recognize I'm crying with him, I'm grieving with him, even the pain begins to, I recognize that God towers over this. He towers over this problem. He towers over this feeling of inadequacy that comes up in all of our lives from time to time. He towers over thinking that somebody has said something bad about us. He is greater, and he is going to last longer. That, dear friends, is the joy of the journey. The joy of the journey. Recognizing God's with us. That's the first step. He is with you. He is with me in whatever we're facing right now. Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, dear friends, that ought to make a Presbyterian shout hallelujah. That ought to make us all jump up and shout loud. Amen? Joy is here. Joy is sin. Joy is a journey. And it takes me to the fourth shocking truth in our story today. That joy is scary. You say, wait a minute. I was feeling pretty good until you said that, Dan. I was kind of getting past the journey here. Notice what it says in Luke chapter 2. Because we're going to see something in the man named Simeon. We don't know a whole lot about him, but notice what it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 34. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, Mary, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. Joy is often scary sometimes at first, is it not? This guy named Simeon, we don't know a whole lot about him. Maybe it's because his words were not just earth-shaking. His situation was not just overwhelming like the shepherds or the wise guys or anything like that. But listen to what he's saying. He is at the dedication of the Lord. Here's this young guy, this guy named Simeon, telling the honest truth. There's some of people that are going to hear truth about Jesus. They are going to fall. He says it plain out, they're going to fall. Others are going to have great joy. As you see the story playing out in reality, the people who fell were the ones who were already in power. The people who felt like they already had it made or had something that they did they wanted to hang on to. Maybe kind of like King Herod, they fall. The religious leaders like the Pharisees, they fall. They fell because they were hanging on to what they already have. It was the people that recognized that Jesus came to give them something that they never had. That's what it's all about. Those people found great joy. It's the same true in today's lifestyle as well. You and I need to realize that sometimes the scariest thing about joy is that you have to let go of the things that you're holding on to that you brought and that would give you joy in order to grab a hold of the joy that only Jesus can give you. Some of us, especially in high capacity people, we don't want to let go because we've got this thing all figured out. We don't want to let go of those things that we have to let go of so that Jesus can give us the things he wants us to have. You build your life around your education, or you build your whole life around your career, or your whole life around your marriage, and you build your whole life around your family, and build your whole life on whatever we could go through the list of things, and thinking that this is going to bring me joy. But it's not happening, is it, sometimes? It comes and it goes, so you keep trying a little bit more. If I can just build a bigger house, if I can buy a new this or a new that. But then Jesus comes and says, I want you to have a great family. I want you to have a great career. That's not the joy is where it's to be found. The joy is connected to me. That's where the joy is. Oh, you can have a great career. You can have a great education process. You can have a great family and all of those things, a great marriage, and I've got one. But that's not where my joy is. My joy is connected when I found that Jesus fulfills all my needs. But sometimes it's kind of scary, is it not? Sometimes it's scary to picture that you've got to let go of. It reminded me of a picture that I've seen, and you've seen it time and time again. You're hanging off a cliff, and Carrie, you're hanging on to a branch that's stuck into an old root that's stuck into the side of the cliff, and you're hanging on with both hands, and you say, man, this is, if I let go, I'm going to fall off the cliff, and I'm going to die. This thing's going to be over, and you're hanging on for dear life with both hands on the cliff, and then Jesus walks by. Jesus comes into your life. Jesus comes along and says, hey, if you want real joy, if you want real happiness, if you want real peace, you got to let go of that and grab a hold of this rope. And he throws a rope at you. And you're thinking in your infinite, finite brain like mine, you're saying, if I let go, I'm going to fall. But maybe if I let go with one hand, but I've still got to hang on. And the weight, you're hanging and you reach over there. You see, Jesus said, let go and grab a hold. So my question is this, what is the branch you're holding on to? What is the branch that's holding you, you're holding on with dear life, hoping it's going to give you joy? One more deal? One more advanced in your 401k? One more new car, new home, whatever it might be. But the truth of the matter is that was never meant to give us joy. Money is not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money's just money. It buys goods and services. It pays for houses. It pays for education. It pays for food. It pays for all those things. But if money is what you're holding on to, and I'm so thankful that I'm serving in a church that is so gracious with your giving. But what is it that you're holding on to? You see, friends, joy can be scary. And that brings me to my fifth scary, shocking truth for you today. And we take this one from, obviously, Mary. Mary is part of the great Christmas story. She's not the whole story, but she's part of the great Christmas story. And the fifth shocking truth is joy is a difficult choice. It's a difficult choice. Notice what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and 48. So hang on with me because it's about to get good. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed." There she is. She's singing, isn't she? She's singing about joy. But I want you to know something about Mary. It didn't start that way. It didn't start with a singing. It was a decision that she had to make. So back up in Luke chapter 1 and notice in 29 and 30. Notice this. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You notice there's three words I think you ought to underscore or circle in your Bible. Three words: confused, disturbed, afraid. That's where Mary started. Before she started singing, she was confused. She was disturbed. She was afraid. Here's a teenage girl been told that she is with child and she's a virgin. How am I going to explain this, God? She thinks. Who's going to understand this one, Lord? This is not going to go well with my beau, Joseph. He's not going to be a happy camper with this. It's not going to be well with anybody. She was confused. She was disturbed. She was afraid. But then just a few verses later, she begins her joyful journey. What happened? What happened? She made a decision. She made a difficult decision. She tried to trust God. I have found, and maybe I'm the only one in the room, I found that I like to trust me more than I do trust God. I just said it out loud. I said it because you wouldn't say it. Amen? Sometimes I want to trust me. Why? Because it's right here in front of me. I got it all figured out. I'm looking at the bank account. I got this all figured out. I'm looking at the scheduling. I got this all figured out. I got the plan. We've done this over and over and over again. I've got this all figured out. I'm going to trust me. The scary part is that we have a difficult decision. Are we going to trust us who are going to mess it up? Or are we going to trust God? That's exactly what Mary decided to do. I am going to trust God. Joy is found on the other side of a difficult choice to trust God in trusting ourselves. We have figured this thing out. We know the plan. We've worked the committee work. We know all of what takes place in this process. We're trusting us. We check off all the boxes. But dear friends, when are we going to completely sell out and trust God? I'll never forget the moment that the Lord really shook me to the core. It was shortly after our marriage. In 1980, shortly after that, Deb and I got involved in church. My sweet wife came to faith in Christ in 1982. She thought she was a believer. She was a church member. She had religion but no relationship. And she was a great person. I mean, she didn't dip or chew or date guys who did. I mean, she didn't do any of that kind of stuff. She was a good person. I mean, she made 3 squares a day. I mean, she was a good person, worked hard every day. She was awesome. But she came to faith in Christ because she came to the understanding that she was lost without Jesus. I surrendered my life to the Lord during that time, recommitted my life. And the call on my life when 1972 resurrected again in my life. And the Lord says the call is irrevocable. I called you to preach the gospel. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to surrender to that call. I'm on this track. It, the food business, I'm running this track, and man, I've got my goals set, and I had this plan all worked out. Alex, I know exactly what I'm going to do. This is the plan. Here's where I'm going to be at this moment. I'm going to be at this moment. I'm going to be at this level. I'm going to be at this level. And by the time my career it comes to an end, I'll possibly, hopefully be a president of one of our branches. This is my plan. And God says, no, 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 no. The call on your life is irrevocable, and I'm asking you to surrender to that call. And I'll never forget that November Sunday in November when our pastor was preaching on stewardship. And I walked forward and said, "By the mic, Pastor Mike, I want to let you know something. God called me to preach." He said, "I know. When are you going to do it?" How did he know? How did he know this? I hadn't told anybody. He said, "I could see it all over your face. I could see it in your heart. God's called you to preach. You need to go do it." And I'll never forget turning around, looking at Deb, and there she was standing next to me, ready to make this journey together. A few months later, we walked away from a lucrative career, having no idea where the resources were going to come. Had no idea where the resources were going to come. We were going to go by faith in evangelism and crisscross the nation, preaching the gospel. Had no idea. Didn't even have a big schedule. Well, don't you know something, folks? I've never missed a house payment, never missed a car payment, never missed a meal. Can you tell? I'm telling you, man, we are blessed beyond imagination. Why? Because we quit trusting in us and what we had figured out. And we're going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for the next step, every step of the way. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter that you may be senior adult and you're retired right now. Would you continue to trust God instead of trusting yourself? Because when we trust ourselves, we're going to make a mess out of it. And when we trust God, here's what he does for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. "For the joy set before him endured the cross, scourging its shame. It's set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He goes on to say in John 15, verse 11, "I have told you these things so that you can have the same joy I have, so that your joy will be the fullest possible joy." I love that line. The fullest possible joy. So knowing Jesus, he's going to die the next day. Jesus is talking. He's discipling his disciples. And he's saying, "I want you to have the fullest possible joy. I want to work this into your life. Joy is here. Joy is sent. Joy is a journey. Joy can be scary. But dear friends, joy is a difficult decision." And I want to ask you this question. Are you ready to make the decision? Are you ready to join me and cooperate with him? What can I do? Well, first of all, I think we can do what the people in the first Christmas did. We can stop chasing after what God has already sent. We can stop chasing after what he's already sent. I can take the first step of the journey, realizing that God's with me. I can let go of the branch and grab a hold of the rope that he has for us. I can let go of the branch, that thing that he has that I thought would bring me great joy. I can make the difficult decisions and trust God for the inevitable to work, because he has it all worked out and a perfect plan for us, regardless of your age in this room, regardless of how old you might be. Your next step is the best step in the journey, is to trust God for the joy. The truth, you could choose to be discouraged. You can. You can do that for the rest of your life. You could choose to be angry for the rest of your life. You could choose to be bitter. You could choose to be cynical for the rest of your life. There's a lot to be bitter and cynical. If you watch enough news on the telecast, you can be cynical. You can be bitter. But the Christmas story is the good news of Christmas, is for you can choose. You can choose to be a joyful person. But you and only you can choose this awesome joy. Let me close out with this. The good news of God, the good plan of God, the good grace of God, the goodness of God in your life, you can choose to be a joyful person. Why? Why? Because Jesus came to give awesome joy. We talked about abiding hope. We talked about authentic peace. And now we're talking about awesome joy. That's the third box that we're unpacking at this Christmas season. Jesus came to give awesome joy. It's your choice to receive it today. Let's pray. heads bowed, eyes closed in this room, maybe here or in our live stream right now. Maybe today the Lord has spoken to your heart that you can receive awesome joy because it's here, it's in front of us, it's right now. We can just let go of the branch. Just let go of the branch and grab the rope and enjoy the journey. But it's your choice. If I could make it for you, I would. If I could force you to do it, I would. But you and I have to do it on our own, don't we? Right here in this room, maybe on our live stream, maybe you just simply need to say, I have no idea, God, what the next step is. But today, I choose to make the decision and sing like Mary did. And she was blessed. God with us, Emmanuel, the awesome joy that we can have in the midst of the chaotic world that we live in. Father God, in this room, there's many people. Maybe in this room, there may be one or two that just needs to let go of the rope. They just need to realize that there's awesome joy for them. Stop trusting in them and their formula and their plan and their strategic plan, and they just trust you. Trust you. You came to give us awesome joy. Father, do your work in our lives today. We love you and we praise you. We stand and we